John chapter 20. And we'll read one verse this morning, verse 19. John chapter 20, verse 19. And last week I enjoyed preaching, and as I always do, but last week was, I told you, a little extra for me because obviously I love God, I love the Bible, and of course I told you last week I love baseball. And so we use baseball on how to arrive safe at home, but you have to touch every base. If you miss first, they can appeal and call you out. And we saw that last week. And so then today, my wife, she always asks me a lot of times, what you preaching about? And I was like, Jesus. And she's like, what are you preaching about? I was like, I'm preaching out of the Bible. She's like, and she wants me to. I was like, you'll get it when everybody else gets it. And so anyway, but I told her last week, of course, I was preaching, safe at home. And she's like, baseball, here we are going again. And so then I told her this week's title. And I actually got this title. I was a youth director for I don't know how many years. I've lost count. But I dealt with teenagers a lot. And of course, if you deal with teenagers a lot, they will say a word or a phrase, and you're like, what? And they have to explain it to you, okay? Back when, I was growing up, everything was cool, right? Well, it's hot. No, it's cool. And then there was that phrase where, man, oh, that's bad. Well, no, that really means that's good. What? That's a bad truck. That's a bad this. And it actually meant good. And so you know what I'm talking about. So phrases come through. They come and go. I guess cool maybe has hung around for a while. But anyway, back in the, everything was cool days, from some of you older people. Now he's on that, reverse mortgage commercial and all that kind of stuff. And old people commercials. But anyway, but the phrase is coming. And this was a phrase back, I think it was probably 6-7 years ago, when I had a couple of seniors in my youth group, and they said this all the time. And I'm like, what does that mean? And they basically said, well, it's something, if it's true, we'll say this statement. I was like, okay, that's pretty good. If it was a lie, I wouldn't want you to say it. But if it's true, we'll say this statement. Then they said something like this, this could actually go without saying. In other words, it's so obviously you don't have to say it. It could go without saying. That's when we will say this statement. And then they explained it to me, a person, something else that said, if a person does make a statement, and I mean, we wholeheartedly agree with what they're saying, we'll say this statement. And then the last one was, it just basically shows that you're in agreement with it. Kind of like amen at church. When you say amen at a church, that's means so be it, or I agree with what he's saying, or I agree with that song, and we say amen. So, now that I've got you wondering, what in the world was that phrase? Here it is, title of my sermon today, Big Facts. That's what they would say. Somebody would say something, and they'd go, Big Facts. I'm like, what's Big Facts mean, And they told me, it means that's true. It means that I agree with that. It means it could go without saying. It's so obvious. And I'm just showing that I'm going to agree. Big facts. Any teenagers ever say that? Anybody 20 years old ever say that? Big facts? Anybody ever heard it? No? Okay. All right. Must have been a Florida thing. Okay. Anyway, they would say big facts. And they said it all the time. Big facts. Big facts. Like, so-and-so won the baseball World Series. Big facts. Because it could go without saying. Everybody knows that if you like baseball, this team won it last year or whatever. And so they would just say, big facts, big facts. And so that's the title of my sermon today, Big Facts. In other words, I agree with it. It's true. It goes without saying. So big facts. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll get started today. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity we have to serve you. And Lord, help us to look at these statements in the Bible today. Obviously, we'll get to the main points on how it applies to us. But these statements that I'm going to say and read today, they do go without saying. They are obvious. And of course, I agree with them. All Christians should agree with them. And so help us today, Lord, to learn these big facts in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we're looking in John 20, verse 19. And this is a big fact. It says right here in John 20, verse 19, then, in other words, the big fact, what took place? The same day, at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples
were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And so, of course, we're going to look at some big facts about this verse. And so the first thing I want us to see is that the news of the empty tomb had spread rampantly. And of course, you know the story, if you've been in church any length of time, that they put him in a tomb. You know, Joseph of Arimathea said, I'll take the body. You know, they wrapped it and they put, you know, spices on it, things like that, and they put it in Joseph's borrowed tomb. But all the people that were in charge, like, you know, he's been saying he's going to rise again. I mean, they heard him, but the disciples didn't, right? They got all discouraged and went back to fishing and things. But it was said. They knew. Big facts. He's coming out in 3 days. So what did they do? Hey, let's get a big stone and put it in front of that opening. And not only do that, let's get some liquid nails or some silicone or whatever, you know, some tar, and let's put it all around that and seal that thing up. Because, you know, the disciples, they might come steal his body on that third day and everybody might think that he's risen. But we know all his disciples were so discouraged and went back fishing. Some of them went back fishing naked. And some went back, you know, doing things that they used to do and weren't there. Had to be told about it. But anyway, the big fact was that he was coming out in 3 days. And so they said, you know, the disciples were all scared. That the Jews were like, you know, it's going to get ramped back up again. They're going to think he's out. And he actually was. So then it says here in that verse, it says here, they were in this upper room, upstairs, in fear of the Jews. They were like thinking, okay, you know, they killed Jesus. And, it, you know, we, you know, they might be wanting to kill us still. And so now that somebody's taking his body and that's getting it all ramped back up, they're going to come after us guys that have been, you know, that's supposed to be preaching about it. And they're going to kill us. And so then the next thing, what it says here, they went upstairs. They wanted to get as far away from people as they could. And then it says that they shut the door. And of course, if they were this scared, I don't know what type of locking mechanisms they had back in the day. You know, maybe it was a piece of 2x4 that came down behind, things like this. But they were upstairs. They were in a room. The doors were shut. I'm sure they were probably locked. And most likely they were whispering, what are we going to do about this? If they went upstairs and if they shut the door and kept everybody out and they were secretively meeting, most likely they were probably whispering. And then lo and behold, Jesus appears. Okay, now he appeared without any footstep sound coming up the stairs. Now, at my house, we have some stairs. They're all wooden. There's no way to get up those stairs without everybody in the house knowing it. They creak and pop and moan and groan. Maybe they're saying, lose some weight, please. But I don't know. But, you know, it's hard to go up those stairs without. And so, but he didn't use the stairs. Big facts. He just appeared in the room. There wasn't a, you know, wiggle, wiggle of the doorknob. I wonder if this is locked. You know, shake, shake, shake. That didn't happen. Big facts, he just appeared into the room. There wasn't even a knock. So if he didn't walk up the stairs, he didn't wiggle the doorknob, he did not knock. The big facts about this story was he wasn't there, and then he was there. He appeared. Now, obviously we know, those of us that are Christians and saved and read the Bible and heard Bible stories, we know that he had died. We know he had resurrected. And so some people might think, there's no way he could do that. There's no way he could just not be there and then just be there. There's no way he could get to upstairs without using the stairs. There's no way he could come through a locked door. He would have to knock and they would have to let him in. If he can raise himself from the dead, stairs don't bother him. Big facts. All right? A locked door doesn't bother him. Big facts. He just appeared into the room. And it startled them. Because they had went up there using those steps. They had locked that door for security. They were probably whispering, we don't want anybody to know that we're up here. And lo and behold, there he is. Big facts. He disappeared. Now, they were startled. You know what he did? He remembered. showed him his hands. He said, big facts, it's me. And if that doesn't prove it, showed him the side where that spear had went in. Big facts, it's me. I didn't use the stairs. I didn't knock on that door. I didn't have to unlock it. I just said, I'm in heaven. I went to earth, born of a virgin. I just said, I died on the cross. They put me in the grave, but I rose up again. I just said, I'm going up there, upstairs where they are, without using the door and without knocking and just appearing. Big facts. That's what took place. So we see here, Jesus didn't use the stairs. He didn't jiggle. He didn't knock. In the verse 20 of that same chapter, it says here, Jesus showed them his hands and his side, and they were glad to see him. So of course, that gave them some confidence. They were scared that they were going to get killed. They were scared, you know, they killed him, they're going to kill us. But lo and behold, he does this to let them know, big facts, guys, I've already conquered death, hell, and the grave. I can conquer placement. I was over there in the garden talking to Mary and those other ladies, and they were running around trying to find y'all to let y'all know, hey, he rose up just like he said. And here y'all are meeting, and he showed himself. So there's some things in the Bible that we just have to accept by faith. If the Bible said he appeared, he appeared. If the Bible says he didn't use the stairs, he didn't use them. If the Bible says he didn't go through the locked door, he just appeared into the room. He can do that. That's big facts. Here's some other big facts about Jesus. The Bible says he created all things. John 1, 1 through 3. I'll read it to you. Big facts. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 2, and the same was in the beginning with God. That's talking about Jesus and the Holy Ghost, the Trinity. They were all three there in the beginning. And it says here, who's the Word? Jesus is the Word. So the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. Verse 3, all things were made by Him, and without Him was nothing made that was made. Big facts. Jesus created all things. He created this world in 6 days. And the Bible says, and the fullness thereof. He created everything that's in this world. Big facts. Here's the next one. He was born of a virgin. And he was laid in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. Why? Because the Old Testament prophesied that that would happen. And lo and behold, she's pregnant. She's not there, but taxes. Death and taxes, the only thing that's for sure in this world, right? All right. They had to go pay their taxes. They were over in where? Bethlehem. Big facts, he was born of a virgin in Bethlehem. Here's another big fact. He lived 33 and a half years on this earth and was tempted in every point, the Bible says, just like we are, yet without sin. I can't go 33 and a half minutes without sinning. The preacher? Yeah, because I'm human. Now, I don't try. I don't do it on purpose. All right, but I fail. But he went 33 and a half years without a sin. Big facts. Next, Jesus died on the cross of Calvary and shed his blood, just like we talked or sang about this morning, and covered my sins. And when he sees me as white as the snow. Big facts. His blood took away my sins. His death on the cross was substitutionary for me. Here's another big fact. We talked about it already. They put him in the grave, but 3 days later, he just came back to life. Came out. Big facts. Jesus appeared to the hundreds of people after he came out of that tomb. I think the Bible says 400 plus people saw him physically while he was down here on this earth after he came out of the tomb. Big facts. So men have tried to shut and lock the doors of their mind, and he just shows up. People have tried to put him out, lock the doors of their conscience. Kind of the same thing, but he just shows up. People have locked the door of their heart. I'm not letting him in. But he can just show up. Big facts. So what are we going to look at today? The big facts about Jesus, number one. The big fact is he is historically true. Historically true. Those of you that are historians, it's just stories to me. I mean, I had to read it in school about the wars and about how things like that. Of course, if you read the Old Testament, that's historical books, the Pentateuch. First five books, historically what happened, things like that. But historically, big fact, Jesus he's real. So apart from the Bible, historical books have him in the pages.
If you like to think of world history and go back to the beginning of it, people like Julius Caesar, people like Nero, people that has, you know, this in history books, Jesus is right there with them. It wasn't a made-up, fictitious story. Historically, big facts, Jesus is real. If you took out a coin out of your pocket, I don't like to carry things in my pocket. I think I got a cell phone in this one, church keys and two mints from Brother Dan in this one, and that's about it. All right. So I don't like change. I have a cup at home that's full of change that I'll take to the bank every once in a while, dump it in there and get some cash. But if you look on that coin, there's a date that it was made. Big facts. You know where that date started? With Jesus. And there on my desk, there's a beautiful desk calendar on there. It's red and black, and it says Georgia Bulldogs on it. I mean, it's gorgeous. I'll show it to you after service. You won't see it. But it says 2024, February 20, today? 5th? Thank you, Hel. Thank you, Brother Bill. All right, 25th, today. And you know why it says February 25th, 2024? Because Jesus' birthday was 24,000 years ago, 224,000 years ago. It started with Him. Historically, big facts. It's all about Jesus. So not only is the calendars and the coins in our pockets or in our cups a historical fact that He was there, so don't you think if the world's calendar is based on His birthday, He probably existed? Big facts, historically. Here's another one. Christmas. And I mean, people argue about the date. He was born in September. He was born in March. And we really don't know. Right? But praise God that He gets a little bit of credit every year by this wicked world. Right? But that day, that historical fact. Right? There's President's Day. Historically, we had some presidents. Okay? There's, you know, what's the green leprechaun day? There you go. We have that. So there was a little leprechaun. I'm just kidding. All right. We have the historical facts. Okay, that happened. Jesus was born whenever it was, but our world says this is the 25th of January. So historically, it's big facts that Jesus actually existed. Number two, biblically speaking. Biblically speaking. In other words, His claims. You can read in that book right there if you have a red letter edition. It's red where He spoke. All the rest of them speaking about Him some semblance. So He claims that He was co-equal with God. This is what got Him in trouble. If you would just say you were a good man, we'd give you thumbs up. Big facts. If you just said you were a prophet, man, we'll just say big facts. You're a prophet. If you just said, hey, I'm a miracle worker, we saw it. Big facts. Guy had leprosy, now he doesn't. Guy couldn't walk, now he can. The guy that he ran around naked and was rude, crude, and all that stuff. Now look, he's dressed in his right mind. We'll give you big facts that you're a miracle worker. But He said, I'm God. Right? Now we know that's a big fact because the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And there's plenty of other places in there. So He made the statement in this Bible that He was God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the Trinity. But Jesus was God. Big facts. He claimed it. John 10:33 says this, the Jews answered Him saying, for good works we stone thee not. And I just gave you examples of that. You healed people. You preached good stuff. You helped. For good works we stone thee not. But for the blasphemy, and because that thou being man maketh thyself God, is why they wanted to crucify Him. That's why they wanted to get rid of Him. But big facts, He was God. John 17:11, second part says this, Holy Father, keep through Thine own name those whom Thou hast given Me, and Thou that they may be one as we are. This was Jesus talking to God. He said, hey God, these people that You've given Me to die for and to save, let's keep them. Put them in Your hand, put them in My hand, nobody can pluck them out. Let's keep them. Let's let them be one. Unity, all in one accord, all the stuff the Bible teaches, just like me and you are one. Big facts. He claimed that He was God. Second, he proved that he was God. He created all things. He heard how many of most of the time, or he healed many people in front of thousands of people. John 14:11 says this, "Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake." What you saw me do, and that's what they said, "We'll have to give you credit. All the things that you can do," and I'm paraphrasing here, "all the things that you've done, healed, raised people from the dead, you could not have done that unless God was with you. We'll give you that much. We'll say that God was with you." But he said, big facts, "I am God." So just like he appeared in that room that day without using the steps and the doors, and everybody's like, "I don't know about that. I mean, just appeared, come on. Is he an illusionist? Is he a magician?" No, he's God. And if he spoke what we're standing on or what we're in into existence, he can appear into a room. Big facts. He created all things. He heard or he healed people in front of thousands. They saw it. So if one said, if one would stand up today and claim to be God, everybody would laugh him to scorn, say he'd lost it. You know, he's a little cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. Not likely, but if a person today, in our day and time, stood up and said, "I'm God," and was standing outside the children's hospital and just went up through there, "Be healed, be healed, be healed, be healed." All the cancer was gone. All the diseases were gone. Everybody was like, "What's going on here? What's happening?" Not everybody would believe, but some might think, "Ooh, goodness gracious." That's why he did what he did. To help some would believe. So Jesus did that. Big facts. So he claims to have the authority over them. John 7:46 says this, "Officers answered, 'Never a man spake like this man.'" I mean, he healed all these people and some people started believing. "I don't know. He might be God." And then they heard him speak. And they're like, "Wow. Never a man spake like this man." So he had the power of God and behind what they heard. He had the most authoritative voice that was ever heard. I mean, can you imagine Lazarus come forth? Man, I'd like to hear that. That would have been awesome. I mean, everybody's like, "Yeah, whatever, Lazarus come forth." Big facts. He walked out. Said, "Get me out of these things." He may have been a little claustrophobic. "Come on, help me. Get me out of this quick." But big facts, he was dead. Jesus said, "Lazarus, come forth." Big facts. Everybody's like, "He says he's God. And my cousin was leprous, and now he's not. He says he's God. And Lazarus went in the tomb, and he said, 'Come forth.' And he did." Whoo. Big facts. He made those claims in the Word of God. We know this, and we don't have the authority, but he has the authority. 1 Kings 19:12 says this, "And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire." And it says, "And after the fire, a still small voice." So big facts. Just like he spoke, and they said back then, never a man spoke like this man. Those of you that are saved, there may have been earthquakes, there may have been fires, there may have been situations in your life. All of a sudden, he appeared in the room. And you heard him. It might not have been audible, but it was him. Big facts. I remember that day as a 10-year-old boy. And God said, "I want to save you today." I didn't hear it here, but I heard it here. And I couldn't stay back there. Never a man spake like this man. It says right here, that small, still voice. Same thing. From the day I got saved to the day I got called to preach, 7 years in between. And the Holy Spirit, that same voice that I heard when I was 10, said, "I want you to preach the gospel." No way. You don't need this guy. There's so many that could do a better job. There's just so many more talented. There's so many more that's educated. You don't want me. But he still stood in the midst. And said, yes, I do. And so when I went and talked to my preacher about it, I said, I think God's calling me to preach. And he said, forget about it. Go on out of my office and just put that behind you. And I said, woohoo. The preacher said it. I'm through. I started towards the door. But I heard it again. Not here. But here, don't you go out that door. And I turned back and said, I can't. I can't forget about it. He's standing in the midst. He said, oh, I was just checking. Come back over here. We'll talk about it. Don't scare me like that. He said, well, if you could have walked out the door, it wouldn't have been real. Big facts. I heard him. Same voice that told me to be saved. Same voice that called me to preach. About a year and a few days ago, I was on my knees in Florida. That same voice stood in the midst. Said, I want you to move to Kentucky. Yes, sir. That's exactly what he did. Never a man spake like this man. Oh, what in the world? That small, still voice. He can still stand in the midst. So we see, it's been 20,000 years since he spake audibly here on this earth. And that was the last time that anybody heard him audibly. So we've had to listen to that small, still voice. But according to this book, those claims that he makes, those big facts, the Bible says one day that eastern sky, I don't know which way it is from here, right, that eastern sky is going to open up and he's going to speak audibly, come up hither. So just like Lazarus was laying there and hopped up and hopped out of the tomb, we're going to say, yes, sir. And we're going to meet him up there. Praise the Lord. So when he speaks today, that in that human heart, they recognize him immediately because he has that unique authority. They were sitting there, did you hear him come up the stairs? Mm-mm. Did you hear him rattle the doorknob? Mm-mm. Did you go unlock it for him? Mm-mm. But there he is. Same thing. He opens up that eastern sky and says, come up hither. There's going to be people like, did you hear that? And the Bible even says, two guys in the field working. Hoeing away. And they're talking about, well, my wife, she's this, and my job is this. They're just yak, yak, yak. And all of a sudden, one's going to stop and go, where'd you go? Come up hither. Big facts. So how different is his voice than other people? It's recognizable. So there's people that read and hear of things nowadays, Socrates and Plato, and you read about them and you don't feel anything. You don't decide you have to go after what they said. I mean, it's just material that they wrote. But you can read Socrates and feel nothing and hear nothing. You can read Plato and you can see and study what they wrote about, but you hear nothing. But you read this and you can hear something. He can stand in the midst. What does the Bible say? Where two or three are gathered, he's in the midst. He's in here today just like he was in that room. Obviously not seeing this and this. But we see here, you do not feel eternal consequences when you read after these other intelligent people. You read about Christ, you feel those eternal consequences. You don't feel that you heaven and hell is based on what Socrates and Plato and others have said. It definitely is about what Jesus. So no honest man can read and hear God's word preached intelligently and compare it to historical facts without being gripped by that compelling authoritative word, that small still voice. Matter of fact, it takes effort to reject Jesus' claims. I mean, what do? They tried to block it out. They tried to plug their ears. They tried to run. They tried to crucify him. They tried all that. But they could not stop him from speaking. So some men will look or lock the doors of their mind and their conscience and their heart to try to keep Jesus out. But he will stand in the midst. Big facts. Historically, he was true. Biblically, he's true. And here's my last point. Unavoidably. Unavoidably. So historically, we got money in our pocket and we have a calendar based on his birthday. Biblically, those of us that are saved, we've invited Jesus Christ to come into our heart to save us. We can hear his small, still voice. But one day it's going to be unavoidable. Those guys went upstairs. Those guys locked the door. Those guys were most likely whispering, but it was just unavoidable. He was in the midst. So there's some people today, they try to block out Christianity. They try to block out church. They try to block out the Bible by coming up with different versions and things like that. They try to get rid of all that stuff. But one day, the Bible says it's going to be unavoidable. What does the Bible say? Every knee shall bow. Every tongue will confess. So there was probably maybe even guys in that room that day. It's a ghost. I don't know if that's Jesus or not. It's just unavoidable. He was there. So there, they tried to keep him away by locking. They get mad. They lash out. They get up and walk away. There's even people running from God, they say. They try to fill their time with anything but God. They will say, we can talk about anything else other than religion. You've probably met those people at work. And we can talk about anything. Hunting, fishing, work, money, politics. Don't you bring up religion. What are they doing? Trying to lock that door. Trying to keep him out. You might have relatives like that. I did. Just don't even come over here if you're going to talk about that. What were they trying to do? Lock that door. Keep him out. But I kept going back. Why? Because I know unavoidable one day. They're going to stand before him and give an account. We can think we have it all the doors shut. We've got it locked. We've got it barricaded. But Jesus is inescapable. It's an inevitable thing that he's going to come. It's going to be unavoidable. And we have a couple of illustrations of that, and then we'll be finished. How about Adam and Eve? Fellowshipping with God every day, talking with him. This is great, man. His life is awesome. Of course, they ate of the fruit that they were forbidden to eat. And they're like, where's your clothes? I don't know, where's yours? They didn't even know that was an issue till they ate of the fruit. So then what did they try to do? They tried to go hide. They tried to lock the door. They tried to go up the stairs and hide. And God came. Unavoidable. Adam, where you at? Well, God, we were naked, so we hid ourselves. Well, how'd you know you were naked? Unavoidable. Can't get away from him. Can't. He showed up. Obviously, he took care of it, helped him fix the problem. How about Jonah? He heard that small, still voice. Go preach. Nope, not me. I'm out. I'm going to Tarshish. And of course, you know, it was God's will, right? Well, here's some money in my pocket. Must be God's will. There's a ship. Must be God's will. Paid the fare, hopped on. I'm in God's will. Mm-mm. Unavoidable. They cast lots. It's my bad. See you, buddy. All right, but God, just like he took care of Adam and Eve's problems, in that unavoidable confrontation they had, God created a big old fish, whale, swallowed up Jonah, and that voice, Jonah, I told you to go preach in Nineveh. Well, if I had a second chance, there went the fish. Unavoidable. Jonah couldn't get away from God. How about David? I mean, he was man after God's own heart. God helped him do so many great things. Then he sinned. Psalm 139, verses 7 through 10. Whether I shall go from thy spirit. David's like, I got to get away from God. Or whether I shall flee from thy presence. If I ascend into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take wings of the morning and dwell the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me. And thy right hand shall uphold me. David realized it was unavoidable. So again, don't go through life trying to avoid God. If you're not saved and he's telling you to be saved, be saved. If he's calling you to preach and you're not wanting to call to preach, just do it. Don't be like Jonah. Don't run. Again, don't let your sin separate you from God. David's like, I'm done. I'm finished. But what did God want? He wanted that guy back. It was unavoidable. And of course, we know the Bible says it's going to be unavoidable in heaven. So, with the circling
I'm sorry, I'll read this poem to you. With the circling power I stand. So we're here in this earth. On every side I find thy hand. Awake, asleep, at home, abroad, I am surrounded still by God. No way to get away from Him. Don't try. It's an unavoidable fact. Big facts. You can't get away from God. I preached a sermon when I first came up here entitled, "That's Him." That's Him. And sometimes God stands in the midst through adversity. What's He doing? He's trying to get your attention. Trying to save you. Trying to get you right with the Lord. Trying to teach you something. He's standing in the midst of your adversity. Sometimes He stands in the midst of your sickness. A lot of times God puts us flat on our back to try to get our attention. Try to talk to us. He'll be standing in the midst sometimes in our loss. We lose something. A job, a loved one, something. And God's doing that. Now, you can look at those two things two different ways. One, a punishment. Two, a test. I had never had to wonder why my dad was spanking me. Number one, I'd done something to deserve it. Number two, he'd told me about it. He was a syllable parent. How many times have I told you? Oh my goodness. So, but praise the Lord. You know, he became a three swats and a prayer dad. Praise the Lord for that. All right. Let's go in here. Let's look at the Bible. You broke this. You know, three swats. Let's pray. Whew, that was a whole lot better than a syllable dad. But anyway, a punishment. If it's punishment, you know why. But if it's a test, either way, it's Him standing in the midst. We may remember, we could ignore the prayers of a grandma. We could stop our ears up from the voice of the preacher or voice of a parent. Or we could dismiss all the invitations. I don't want to have it. But we cannot drown out that small, still voice. It's unavoidable. He's coming. Just give in to it. Praise the Lord, Jonah gave in to it the second time. David, Adam and Eve, they got right with Him. So, it will follow you home. I remember hearing the gospel the first time at church. Went home. It went with me. Because I didn't get saved the first time. I tried to sleep. That small, still voice saying, "You're not saved. You need to be saved." It went home with me. Some of you may have realized that it went to bed with me. That's what the Bible talks about. When you're right with God, you're saved, you go down, you lay down to sleep, and your sleep is sweet. But if you're not saved and the Holy Spirit's standing in the midst, you're not going to have sweet sleep. If you're not right with God, you're running for Him, and that Holy Spirit's just pounding you, your sleep's not going to be sweet. It's unavoidable. I've heard people, I've never had these, but I've heard people dream about it. They heard the gospel. "I dreamed about hell. I heard the gospel. I dreamed about this." But God, in the Bible, used dreams. It's unavoidable. When you go to work, I heard a guy talk about this. His co-worker, they were both mechanics, and they had those doors that you pulled up with the chains and they rolled up. And so one morning he was pulling up, and he says, "Hey," I'm going to say Fred, "Hey Fred, every day we pull these doors up. At the end of the day, we're going to put these doors down. But if I died, I would go to heaven. If you died, you say you're not saved. You wouldn't. So every time that door goes up, I want you to think about that. And every time that door goes down, I want you to think about that." Fred said, every time that door went up, he was in the midst. Said, "Hey Fred, you need to be saved." Every time it went down, he was in the midst. "Hey Fred, you need to be saved." And he said, I dreamt about that door. I heard it going up and down. It's unavoidable. He's going to keep doing that. There's people that said, "I just need to go on vacation. I just got to get out of here." They go on vacation. Guess what? It's unavoidable. He's going to be standing in the midst. "Hey, Adam and Eve, what are you doing hiding in the trees? Hey, Jonah, what are you doing in that belly of that whale? Hey, David, why are you crying on that bed?" It's unavoidable. So, we see here that we can stand. He can stand in the midst and show you His hands and His sides. The devil tried to kill Him and take over heaven, but Jesus is still here. Big facts. Herod,
tried to have all the male children killed 2 years under. He's still here. Big facts. Pilate delivered Jesus to them and washed his hands, said, I'll have nothing to do with it. But they crucified him, but guess what? He's still here. Big facts. False cults of our day have tried to replace him with religion and works and things like that. Big facts, he's still here. Worldly men have tried to ignore him and do anything they could do to get him out of their mind. Big facts, he's still here. Backslidden men have ran and tried to replace him with all kinds of stuff. Big facts, he's still here. It has been said, you're going to do one or three things with Jesus. And it's all through the Bible. You're going to compliment him. What'd they say? He's a prophet. He's a good man. He's a miracle worker. They were complimenting him. And then when they got to heaven, unavoidable day that they were there, they said, haven't we said, Lord, Lord, and done all these things in your name? Depart from me. I never knew you. Big facts. It's unavoidable. You might just compliment him. Here's some. They crucified him. We're not believing him. I know he's done all this and that and the other, but crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. Guess what? All them people will stand before unavoidable Christ one day. So you're either going to compliment him, or you're going to crucify him, or you're going to call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I did that when I was 10. Many of you could say when you did it. Greatest day of my life. I don't try to avoid him unless I've done something stupid and go hide in the trees, go jump in the belly of a fish. But he's unavoidable. If you're saved, he's just going to stand in the midst. If we make it through this whole life and we are able to avoid him, we still will meet that unavoidable Christ one day. At the two places the Bible talks about, the great white throne judgment. I won't have to be at that one. Because the Bible says, whoever's found written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, you won't have to get in that line. But those that reject him, unavoidable. They're going to have to meet him. And then the Bible says, the judgment seat of Christ. Everything that we've done since the day we got saved for the good and with the right spirit, we'll be rewarded for. I want to be in that line. Unavoidable. So big facts. Jesus is a fact. Historically, Jesus is a fact biblically, and Jesus is a fact that's going to be unavoidable. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity we have to serve you. And Lord, this story says that they tried to go upstairs. They tried to lock the door. They most likely tried to whisper. But lo and behold, you just stood in the midst. Obviously, we've seen the comparison of that to our life. So Lord, help people realize, Lord, if they're needing to be saved, you're unavoidable. If they're running from you, you're unavoidable. Again, historically, yes, fine. Biblically, I love it. I read your word, it burns, like Jeremiah said. And I hear that small, still voice. And I'm looking forward to the day. I don't want to try to avoid it. I want to see you. I want to hear, come up hither. Let's all stand. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you need to be saved, come and I'll show you from the Word of God how you can be saved. If you're running, come tell God.
We just want to thank you.